Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're coming to you live from Milford today, beautiful Beaver County, on the occasion of the fourth annual Milford Renewable Energy Fair. And this broadcast is made possible by the Southwest Applied Technology College and the Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. Our thanks to those good folks. We're going to be talking, obviously, about renewable energy. Beaver County is a hotbed. It's home to the First Winds Milford Wind Project, the Blundell Geothermal Plant, Sirk Energy Geothermal Plant, and Utah's first hydroelectric power plant. Beaver County and City of Milford, logical choice to host this fair. This is the fourth annual, and we're grateful to be hosting the program from the fair today. I'm joined by several guests in the first part of the program. By the way, in the second half of the program, Mark Whitney, one of the Beaver County commissioners, will be joining me. And now we bring in Jake Hardman, who is coordinator of the Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. Jake, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Appreciate you being with us. We're also bringing in Samantha Mary Julian, director of Utah Office of Energy Development. Thanks.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning to you. And we're also joined by Dana Miller, by Jeffrey Barrett, our renewable energy coordinator for the Office of Energy Development. Thanks.
Thank you.
For joining. We were going to bring in Dana Miller, but we're pleased to have with us Jeffrey Barrett. We'll also be bringing in Andy Swap here. Maybe he can share a microphone as we bring him in. Andy Swap is sort of the founder of this renewable energy fair. We're glad to have him with us. He's an instructor at Milford High School. So let's start with Jake Hardman. SUTREC, this is probably not unique, but unusual to have an organization this kind, coming together of many different organizations to promote renewable energy. Tell us what SUTREC is.
Yeah, you know, it's actually nine different government organizations that have combined forces. Andy Swap, several years back, had this great idea of really promoting renewable energy in this area, especially with all the renewable energy resources that exist here. So he kind of gathered all of the local government organizations together. They all found value in what was going on down here, and it's exploded from then. Everyone's worked really well together, and it's been quite the experience.
So why Beaver County? Why this area?
This is where the resources are. There's solar resources, wind resources, geothermal resources. There's even biomass down here, and it's in such a high concentration that doesn't exist in other parts of the state and really in other parts of the world to have all three resources here in such good quantities.
I want to ask all of our guests how this all fits into the overall economy and renewable or energy resources. Let me bring in Andy Swap. Andy, could you come over and share my microphone here? We want to get you in on the conversation. Andy Swap, instructor at Milford High School. How long have you been at Milford? Coming in very close.
This is my 12th year at Milford High School.
Where'd you come in from?
Well, actually, I retired from the U.S. Army. Okay. Went back to school and decided to be a teacher.
Oh, very good. And at some point, oh, there we go. We have another microphone for Mr. Swap. At some point, you teach technology?
I do, engineering and technology.
And at some point, I guess you decided renewable energy. We ought to start teaching about that.
Well, I've had a interest in renewable energy for as long as I can remember. My mother sparked that in me, but it just seems to make sense. And as a teacher, if you're not using all of your resources around you, I think you're cheating your students. And we have the resources around here to really teach about renewable energy.
So how did this start? When did you start this?
When I moved to this valley, probably in 1999, I bought a little farm and I was plowing my field in the early spring, and the wind picked up the topsoil and sandblasted the paint off of my barn. And I started to cuss the wind, and I thought, no, there's some power here. And I applied for a state anemometer. We had the state anemometer loan program. And the engineer at the time was enthused about how I wanted to use the anemometer for my own use on the farm and include students in the wind study. It's a great engineering project. So we erected a 20-meter anemometer or MET tower on my farm, and within a week we had three commercial developers pounding on my door. A couple of them were a little miffed that we put a tower out so visible. It's like gold prospecting. And anyway, one was very, very friendly. His name was Curtis Whitaker. He was in the area. Both of his parents are alumni of Milford High School. And his mother always said, well, if you're looking for an energy project, why not Milford? So really, our paths were parallel for a period of time, looking at wind development. And our paths crossed, and boy, we really had a good marriage there, or partnership, and things blossomed from there.
I noticed one of the participants in the fair here is the Department of Workforce Services. Originally, I thought, well, why are they involved? I was reading a little material. They believe, their blurb is that there's future for jobs in renewable energy. I wonder, starting with Andy Swap, have you had students go on to work in this field? Do you feel this is a good career path for your students?
Oh, it's a great career path. And energy field is a great career path. It's not going to go away. And it's hard to track, but at this point we have approximately 23 former students working in the wind energy field. We have a few in geothermal and other energy related careers and engineering. So, you know, when you have a graduating class of the size of 23, it's really good numbers.
That's a high percentage. I wonder, any of our other guests, I'd head over to the Applied Technology College.
Yeah, we could speak just to the employment opportunities. The Southwest Applied Technology College was designated as a state energy academy in partnership with the Department of Workforce Services. And the reason that we were selected for that was because we had First Wind right here. And I believe, Andy, if I'm not mistaken, are they building phase three now that will give them 400 turbines? Is that where they're at now?
That's what is supposed to happen, yes.
Yeah, so if plans go forward with phase three that have 400 wind turbines, and that requires a substantial number of wind technicians. And then because we also have rich solar resources and some big solar farms planned for Iron County, we also developed the solar technician training program there at the college to provide an avenue for students to enter into that field.
Hmm. And is it? I imagine it's growing, this field of employment.
It is. I think right now we would be surprised if we chased down all of the pathways related to renewable energy. Because, you know, I mean, part of it's also energy efficiency. Part of it is retrofitting homes. Part of it is, you know, home energy audits. Part of it is teaching electrical contractors how to do installations on photovoltaic arrays. So, you know, when you chase all those pieces down, it isn't just a wind technician, you know, or someone installing or maintain, you know, solar panels. There are a lot of people involved in the industry.
Hmm. Let's turn to Samantha Mary Julian from the Utah Office of Energy Development. First of all, tell us what that is.
So the Office of Energy Development was created by the legislature in 2011, and we are part of the governor's office, and our mission is to help implement the governor's 10-year energy plan as well as economic development. That is our focus area. So when you talk about jobs, I'd love to add a couple points if you have a minute.
Yes.
You know, they say that energy jobs are lucrative and positive and they should stay in our economy, but sometimes I don't think people really realize how important they are. And one statistic that I love is that if you say the average person in an energy field in Utah, and that could be renewables, it could be conventional or unconventional, or even energy efficiency, typically on average, a Utahn working in energy makes 172% of the average wage of the state, meaning that they make 72% more than the average employee in the state of Utah just for being in energy and having that expertise. So it's huge that our state is an energy producer, and renewable energy is part of that portfolio. And in this region, certainly is. You have the first wind jobs. You have the two geothermal plants down here. You have tremendous growth in energy efficiency, and I think you're going to see all of those continue to go forward.
What is government's role? Does this industry at this point need incentives, or will it naturally just follow the areas with high wind or geothermal resources, will the state attract this kind of industry just naturally, or does it need help?
Sometimes it does come naturally, many times, but a lot of times what we do is we connect them with the right people to cut down on their timeline. So if there's a wind developer that's coming into town or someone who wants to do other things like oil shale or oil sands, our role is to help hold their hand through the entire process. If they need to talk to state folks for incentives, that's our office. We do the incentives as well. If they need permits to get work done, which we know all energy development does, we get them into the right offices, whether it's air or water permits. If it's federal land issues, we get them into the right folks, and we really convene those people together, and we get answers for them, and we get responses for them, and it actually helps produce energy. Many states don't have this process, and energy developers are kind of left on their own to just figure it out. They lose money, they lose time, and frankly, they lose patience. And so our state, as a new office, is to hold the hands of all the energy developers and expedite their timelines and make them feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside so they stay here and they continue to invest the dollars in our state.
Now, what you hear about is the traditional natural resource, mm-hmm. the extractive industries. I know there's competition among states and government debates as well. Are there comparable competitions among renewable energy producing states?
So there is some competition, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Certainly. Our state tries to bid for as much as we can, and a lot of folks like to locate in Utah, develop that energy, and then sell it to California because California is willing to pay a higher price, and so they get more money for their investment. Utah is a great location. We have great transmission lines down there and capacity to get down there. And we have communities in California willing to pay that price and willing to do that. So we do have a bargaining chip there where we can get it right down to them. And in conventional energy, of course, as a producing state, it is competitive as well. But renewables is going to get more and more competitive as some of the coal plants start to go down and some of the other things happen in regard to other states obtaining renewable energy portfolio standards.
Hmm. If you just joined us, we are coming to you live from Milford. We're at Milford High School, site of the 4th Annual Milford Renewable Energy Fair. And this broadcast is made possible by the Southwest Applied Technology College and the Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. Our thanks to them. We're talking about renewable energy, obviously, and Beaver County is a hotbed of renewable energy. Driving into town, coming into Milford, you see a big group of I don't know what you call it, a wind farm. You see the turbines there. Understand there's geothermal, biomass. It is a hotbed of renewable energy. And let's turn to Jeffrey Barrett here. I wonder, so if you could hand him the microphone. Renewable energy coordinator with the Office of Energy Development. Give us an overview of what's in Utah. But obviously, we most of us know about the wind. Perhaps the geothermal, there's a broad range, I imagine.
There is a great range. We've got great solar resources. We're sort of positioned in the top six states for solar, and we're one of six states. We're thought to be one of six states that has a scalable or a commercial scale potential for geothermal, and we were the second state after California to develop a geothermal resource at Blundell. So there are great resources there. Wind, there's a great resource. Those solar resource concentrations are here. The wind concentrations are here as well, but there are spots of really high value wind throughout the state as well. And then in the last 18 to 24 months, folks have really begun to focus on the biomass resource, primarily around the invasives, the pinyon juniper invasives problem, which are sort of encroaching on the natural sagebrush habitat. So we're already harvesting that to combat that problem, and as we can harvest that, we may as well figure out ways to generate electricity in a cost-effective way from that. So there are a lot of great resources, and we're focused on them, and I think a lot of them are on the cusp of larger scale development here in Utah.
So biomass, remind me, how do we get the energy out of biomass?
Well, there are a number of ways, but the thing that we're most focused on at this time would be to chop it down, and to make it more high value by a process called pyrolysis, where at the site where you chop it down, you're actually extracting some of the water by a slow heating process, so that you're able to concentrate that value and almost make something that's equivalent to a charcoal briquette almost, that could be transported more easily to a a firing facility. So that would be the idea. You need to get the water out before you transport it. Otherwise, it would be just way too heavy, way too expensive. So that's where we are with biomass. The other great biomass opportunity for any place with populations is municipal solid waste. And there are a lot of great new technologies figuring out how to both burn that and generate electricity through steam and also create a synthetic gas fuel byproduct. So.
We're talking about the landfill?
So the landfill provides methane opportunities, which is a natural process that doesn't require any input of energy. Mm-hmm. But there are also facilities where you would transport municipal solid waste to a biomass processing facility and mm-hmm. can generate energy that way.
Well, it would solve a lot of problems. One fell swoop. I'll turn back to Samantha Mayor Julian. You talked about the governor's 10-year plan. Where does renewables fit into that in terms of goals? How percentages, maybe people could wrap their minds around that. Where are we now, and where do you hope to get it in the future?
It's a great question. The governor's energy plan does address renewable energy, and the governor does see the vision of needing to diversify our portfolio. We have been using conventional resources of natural gas and coal for some time, but we are using renewable energy, and we want to use more renewable energy to diversify. When we do that, of course, it helps with the grid. It helps with how much demand power there is. And in the energy plan, one of the things under renewable energy is looking at incentives, ways to help encourage companies who pay taxes and employ people to come to the state and stay in the state and, frankly, to expand in the state. And so recently, the legislative session, as a direction out of the governor's energy plan, we passed a bill to have incentives for renewable energy and for unconventional, so oil, shale, oil sands, those kinds of things. And this will be a really good incentive. It's the first time we've had an aggressive incentive that we can go out and market to generators or manufacturers of renewable energy projects. So we can go to wind companies now and geothermal companies and say, if you come here per employee, we will allow some of your taxes to go back to you. So it's not like we're just giving money out of the state coffers. It's that they have to pay the taxes first, and then we give them a piece of that back. And that happens in many states. It makes us much more competitive. And again, that came out of his 10-year energy plan, was to look at incentives and find out what we could do that was fair to the citizens of Utah, as well as lucrative to the companies considering coming in or expanding.
Am I right in assuming that renewable energy is a relatively small percentage of the overall energy portfolio right now?
Yes, in the state of Utah it is, and I think we've been blessed with coal resources. We have some great coal resources that will continue to go well into 20 to 30 years from now, as well as natural gas. You know that recently in the last few years we've discovered some new natural gas locations. So it's a process that's already paid for, and the assets are paid down, and we have been using it for years. Renewable energy is the one where you have to be more capital intensive, and we have to really put some investment in. So currently, right now, the state of Utah generates only a small percent from renewables. But I don't think people realize this, but we mostly work on Rocky Mountain power for the most part. Well, a good percent of their portfolio is wind. I don't think people realize how much wind power we actually use in our homes every day that comes from Wyoming. I think people will be very surprised at some of that information.
We turn back to Jake Hardman talking about Sutrec. Do you see as Sutrec and this collection of agencies increasing renewables as an economic development project? Is it the right thing to do to get us greener? Is it jobs? All of the above?
You know, we like to use the term energy, education, and economy because it fits all three. And we've heard that throughout the state as well, but it really does fit because, you know, Andy is a great example of educating his students about renewable energy, about the resources in this area, which then turns into economic development. It brought in the wind farm. The geothermal plants are here, which has been a great asset to Beaver County, to Millard County, has brought in a lot to the area, and that has created jobs. You know, Andy mentioned he has a graduating class of 23, and he's got more than 23 students in the recent years that have gone on to work in energy fields. So we see it as all three, energy, education, and economic development.
Coming up in the next half of the program, I'm going to be talking with County Commissioner Mark Whitney. I always like to ask commissioners of rural counties, it's a problem that most counties, rural areas have, is keeping the children here. So the jobs aren't here, you have to leave. Do you see an upside here where renewable energy jobs could be here, people could stay here?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I've heard is, you know, one of the major industries in this area is the pig farms that they have. And a lot of times there's students that will grow up in this area and they'll think, that's the only thing I can do. I grew up in Milford. I was born in Milford. That's what I'm supposed to do, is work on the pig farm. When you bring in a, you know, renewable energy developments where it's a little bit more of a high-tech position, where it's in their own backyard, the students see that, and they realize that they can do more than what they thought they could. And that's great for the county and great for the students in the area.
Mm. Let me turn back to Andy Swap. I wonder if you could tell me, maybe pick out a student who you've taught, who's gone on to maybe work in this field.
Commissioner Whitney's son, Saxon, is a wind technician for Clipper out here at our wind farm presently. And my own son is in wind farm construction as we speak. Hmm. So there's, you know, it's touches pretty close to home.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Let me ask the president of the Applied Technology College, Dana Miller. Tell me again about some of the jobs that you prepare students for. Some of these are jobs we wouldn't have heard of 10 years ago.
Well, the two that we have, and Andy can actually help this a bit because he's one of our instructors in the wind technician training program, but our solar technician training program is to get students ready to install and maintain photovoltaic arrays. And then our wind technician training program really gives students the basics to get started as a, what would you call them, Andy? Just a wind technician?
A basic wind technician, yes.
And that program was developed in conjunction with First Wind, and First Wind had some very specific things they needed included in the curriculum that another wind farm operator might not need. So the way that Utah's Applied Technology Colleges work is that we get employer advisory committees together for each of the fields and then custom design the training to meet their specific needs. Mm-hmm. We would anticipate our solar technicians, for example, there's a large, I think about a 950-acre solar farm approved down in Iron County, and we would hope that some of those would go to work in both phases of the installation and maintenance of that solar farm.
Mm-hmm. We just have a couple of minutes left. I want to ask Jake and Andy some of the high points of what's going to be happening today. It kicks off here very shortly, and so you'll all be heading over. What's going to be happening?
Yeah, you know, one of the high points is that we nearly double the population of Milford.
Very good.
You know, I think Milford has maybe 1,500 residents full-time.
Approximately, yes.
We'll probably have about 800 attendees here at the fair today. And, you know, we have about 35 vendors from industry leaders from universities, Utah State, Southern Utah University. We have an electric car race where we have 6 high schools from Southern Utah that have built, they're similar to a go-kart, but they run off solar power or whatever renewable power they use to generate to build an electric car, and they race around the track for an hour. We also have students that build mini wind turbines. They do solar thermal displays, hydro power to see how much power they can create from a 5-gallon bucket. And another big thing that we have is SUTREC has developed an energy education trailer that will actually be available to take around the state to educate citizens, educate students, anybody who's interested in energy in general, and specifically renewable energy, will be able to go right to them and have some displays and teach them all about it. So those are the highlights.
Very good. Just 1 minute. Your maybe 1 minute take, Andy Swap, what your hope is for future of renewable energy, especially in Beaver County?
Well, my hope is more in the line of students. And I don't mean to get off track here, but it is a renewable energy fair, but when you have people that grace their presence here, such as President Miller and Samantha Julian, Jake, yourself, our students feel important. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can do is spark interest in their life. And sometimes things seem a little gloomy in this whole world, but it's bright.
Very good. We'll leave it there for this part of the program. Andy Swap, who's an instructor at Milford High School and founder, essentially, I think, of this Milford Renewable Energy.
It's all due to him.
Energy Fair, 4th annual today. So congratulations to you, has been with us. Jeffrey Barrett, who's Renewable Energy Coordinator with the Office of Energy Development, has been with us as well. Thank you so much. We've also been talking with Samantha Mary Julian, Director of Utah Office of Energy Development. Thanks.
Thank you.
More information, you can Google all this information on the Governor's 10-Year Plan and where this fits in. Danny Miller, Campus President for Southwest Applied Technology College. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Jake Hardman, who is SUTREC coordinator. SUTREC is Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. Thanks.
Thank you.
And this broadcast is made possible by Southwest Applied Technology College and by Sutrec. Coming up in the next half of the program, we'll be talking with the Beaver County Commissioner, Mark Whitney.
Commentator Thad Box.
Earth Day was last Sunday. Arbor Day is Friday. Arbor Day began in 1872 when the Nebraska State Board of Agriculture adopted J. Sterling Morton's resolution for a day of tree planting. Almost a century later, in 1969, Senator Gaylord Nelson organized nationwide environmental teach-ins building on Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring. Topics included harmful effects of pesticides and other environmental disasters. Here in Utah, increased cancer among downwinders and fallout from nuclear bomb tests tied wars to environmental pollution. Nelson declared April the 22nd, 1970, Earth Day. The founder of Arbor Day said in 1885 that planting a tree was faith expressed in a deed, and it is a deed that conveys health, happiness, and consolations to generations not our own. 110 years later, Gaylord Nelson said, "The wealth of the nation is in its air, water, soils, forests, minerals, rivers, lakes, oceans, scenic beauty, wildlife habitat, and biodiversity." And that's all there is. That's the whole economy. That's where all economic activity and jobs come from. These biological systems are the sustaining wealth of the world. And Aldo Leopold said that we humans are part of this Earth's environment. He wrote, "A land ethic changes the role of Homo sapiens from conqueror of the land community to a plain citizen of it." But those are words, just words. But so are greeny, rednecked, environmental, flat earther, lib, retard, and vulgar names people call those with opinions not their own. We must listen to one another, explore differences in a civil manner, and take time to thank those around us who plant the trees, clean up our world, grow our food, and teach ethics by their actions. This is Thad Box.
Hi, this is Blair Larson, host of Fresh Folk. On the show this week, I feature the folk bluegrass album from Rita Hosking and the affecting new album from Vance Gilbert. I'll also play songs from new releases by Greg Engel, Kate Campbell, and Jenny Bieneman, to name just a few. Tune in and listen this Saturday at 8 p.m. to Fresh Folk on Utah Public Radio.
Support for Access Utah comes from the Utah Humanities Council, enriching cultural, intellectual, and civic life by providing opportunities for all Utahns to explore life's most engaging questions and the wonders of the human experience.
Thanks for staying with us through the break. I'm Tom Williams. You're listening to Access Utah. You can probably tell by the ambiance here that we are on the road. We're coming to you from Beaver County, from the Milford Renewable Energy Fair, the fourth annual Renewable Energy Fair at Milford High School. And we're happy to be here today. This broadcast made possible by the Southwest Applied Technology College and the Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. Our thanks to those good folks. Our thanks to our panel in the first part of the program. And thanks for listening to our Milford broadcast today. This part of the program, we're going to check in with Beaver County and with Beaver County Commissioner Mark Whitney. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
How long have you been a commissioner?
This is my third term. I served consecutively. I went out for one term, and I'm back into my third, and I'm just starting on my second year.
All right. You live in Milford?
I'm in Milford, right.
Milford. Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about Beaver County. I was looking up some demographics, a little over, approaching 7,000 people nowadays. On the small side, rural. What are your big industries? How do you make your living out here?
With Beaver County, we're one of the fortunate counties in the state that economically has not been really phased by a negative economy. We've had continuous job growth. It's not hurt us. A lot of that being our biggest industries, of course, is Circle Four Farms, Union Pacific Railroad, Rocky Mountain Power, and now another new player that's in the game that's really stemming the economy is First Wind. And then also Copper Mine, CS Mining, is adding to the game that is now ramping up. So we're doing very well.
I want to, before we get into the future, talk a little bit about the past. I was reading again on the website, by the way. Beaver County, Utah is what I Googled, and some very interesting facts. The town of Beaver boasts that they are the birthplace of Philo T. Farnsworth and Butch Cassidy. So that's a big claim to fame there. And interesting history of mining out in the western part of the county, which continues, apparently. There's mining still going on.
There really is, and there's actually, we're starting to see a whole lot more, as I mentioned, copper that is being currently mined right now or starting up. There's also a large potash deposit in the area and a lot of alunite that they're currently working on extracting, which will create a lot of jobs. And yeah, we are. We're proud, at least, on the fact that Beaver County has a lot of good history. You know, the birthplace of Philo T. Farnsworth. And I'm not certain, and I apologize for this, I'm not sure that is actually, there's been several cases of whether or not it's really truly the birthplace of Butch Cassidy. But we certainly celebrate the Butch Cassidy Festival.
Yeah, very good. So. Very good. Yeah. And absent absolute proof, I guess you can, Beaver can claim him.
Sure.
Very good. So you said the economy has been a little kinder to Beaver County than maybe some other areas?
It really has. You know, even on the upswings, we don't seem to see that. We're somewhat harbored and protected, I think, out here in rural Utah. We've stayed consistent in our job. Seems like the economy and the job growth and job loss, it's not been really detrimental to Beaver County that we've seen in a lot of ways. In fact, at this point, we're seeing a lot of new job growth. So we're very happy with that.
Beaver County has become a hotbed of energy development, specifically renewable energy development. First Wind, you mentioned, you have geothermal, wind energy. A lot of different renewable energy projects in Beaver County. There are other counties, I'm sure, with similar resources. How did Beaver County become such a hotbed?
Well, and I think it's because of the amounts of renewable energy. We're very proud, and we boast on the fact that we provide the majority of all green energy sources anywhere in the world here in Beaver County. As I said, we've got geothermal, we've got wind, we've now got solar, we've got hydro, and so it's natural that it's something that, you know, we really didn't build it. It found us, and with visions of some of our predecessors, one being a true great friend of renewable energy and took this to a whole new level, which is Andy Swap, saw what could be developed and what could be done and started this several years ago, and now look where we're at. We got the fourth annual renewable energy fair this year, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we're seeing more and more companies take a big interest in Beaver County and the renewable energies sources that we have. So we just build upon that.
Yeah, Andy Swap, an instructor teacher at the high school.
He is. He's our shop teacher, but again, very, very, very visionary type person that could look outside just being, I guess, a shop teacher and show what his students were capable and what they could do there. So.
Now, for the future, Beaver County's involved in the Southwest Utah Renewable Energy, consortium?
SUTREC?
Yeah, SUTREC, Energy Center.
Right.
What is your hope? What are your goals there?
Well, what we're hoping to find there is to, along with them and with Southwest Applied Technology College, is to create some curriculum to educate and develop and I guess we should say train our children in the renewable energy field to be able to keep our kids at home and to create jobs for them.
Now, in Beaver County, it's an example of what happens in many places. You have extractive industries. You have mining, a history of mining. I think Beaver County, I was reading, was the site of Utah's first hydroelectric power plant. So there's the traditional energy sources. Now you have onset of renewable energy. Do you think those two can coexist going into the future?
Oh, absolutely, because the great thing about the demographics, or I should say the geographic area of Beaver County and the geology, is hydrothermal power is on the east side of the county on the Tusher Mountains, which has a lot of water. Out here in the west side, we're in the what's considered the high desert, and that's where the wind blows, where the sun shines a lot, and where we have geothermal.
And I guess some places in Utah, you know, couldn't and aren't blessed by some of these natural resources. I'm looking at a geothermal, solar, and wind zone map. And Beaver County is very well situated with all of those. Into the future, you have specific goals that you have set to increase all of those areas?
Well, we certainly are committed to providing the resources and helping develop these projects, because we recognize the importance of the vast amounts of renewable energy sources that we have, plus natural resources here in Beaver County. So we want to build upon all those, and we encourage any companies, and we love to work with those companies, to come in and try to help them take advantage of these resources that we're so proud of having here in Beaver County.
Would you suggest that other counties, other areas replicate something like Sutrec? Does it take a government-private industry partnership?
You know, I really believe that it does, because in some cases you have to have a somewhat of a tax base to get it started, and I guess a vision of people to make it work, and then we'll let it feed on there and hopefully transfer into the private sector.
I also saw, I was touring the gymnasium here at Milford High School. You have all the tables being set up, and one was biomass. I guess you do have biomass industry?
We have, and that's another one that's just really starting to develop since the renewable energy fair is set up a couple of years ago, and they're just right behind them. And there is, we're seeing in Beaver County, we have a lot of pinyon and junipers, which is a great biomass source. And there's other areas that, again, it's more visionary at this point than factual that they're looking at producing with that. So very, very good source there also.
Yeah, I know part of Andy Swap's vision is education. In fact, that's how this all started, right? He wanted to teach his students about
Absolutely.
Renewable energy. I imagine that would be your hope as a county leader, that that be part of this whole vision.
Absolutely, because, you know, not only just the development of the energy comes the education process for our children. And we, you know, we see that they go hand in hand to be able to feed off one another.
By the way, were you born and raised in Beaver?
I was actually born in Cedar City, but I've lived in Milford over 45 years. So I'm almost a local.
Yes, give it another 10 or 20 years.
Absolutely.
What do you find attractive about Beaver County?
You know, Beaver County, the first and foremost is the wonderful people that we have here. There's a diverse amount of people, religions, and I think just the collaboration of it all is just, we're still small enough. Everyone knows one another from the east side to the west side, and it's, again, it's the people.
Do you get people moving in?
You know, we do. I think once people finally have found the area, not only is it attractive and beautiful between what we call a high desert and then the mountains of the Tusher Range, the people get attracted to our people and find it more and more so.
Very rural. I was seeing, again, on those demographic statistics, 2.3 people per square mile.
which I guess there are some attractions to being spread out a bit.
Well, it is. And, I, you know, again, it's not, with that statistic being said, it's not always appealing to everyone, but there's certainly a lot of us that like this rural, rural life.
Yeah. I know some rural places have a problem with retaining their children. You don't have the jobs, and so your kids love it here, but they have to move away for jobs. I don't know if you have that problem in Beaver County.
We really do, and that, and again, that's why I applaud the efforts of our founding father on renewable energy and where we're headed today, Andy Swapp, and I keep bringing his name up because he's so near and dear to this whole vision. And we do. We grow a great stock of children here. And unfortunately, we have to lose them because they have to go somewhere else, be educated, and then go to urban America to find the good jobs. And so we want to be able to retain our children and the great leaders and future people that they could be.
How do you go about your economic development? Renewable energy, we've said, is a part of that. I guess you have to go out and attract businesses.
We do, and again, we've been fortunate in Beaver County to where we've basically just run it up the flag, and it's found us because of what we've got here between our renewable energy and our natural resources and just the geographic area of where we're at. You know, statistically looking, Beaver County is halfway between Las Vegas and Salt Lake, also Seattle and L.A., and Denver and San Francisco. You just go in every direction, and we're right in the middle. So, perfect place to be.
And I would imagine you get some dollars from tourism.
We do. Not so much on the west side as the east side. Again, we're so different on one side to the other, and yet we feed off one another. You know, the east side, we have I-15, which brings a lot of tourism, and a great, beautiful Tusher Mountain Range. The west side being desert, more rock-hounding type people. So, yeah, there's just a vast amount of attraction here for all tourism.
I know some counties, you know, trying to get a few more resources, have gone to battle with the county versus federal government in terms of the land ownership. And such, we have a renewal of the federal law 24, I think it's 2440-77, the roads
RS-2477 issues.
Thank you. Right. Is Beaver County involved in that?
We're very heavily involved in that. That is one of the most frustrating things that any of the western counties throughout the United States west of the Mississippi struggle with, is the intrusion of the federal government on our public lands and not letting us develop the natural resources and renewable energy resources on those federal lands. Beaver County being no different. We're approximately 87% public lands here, and we've got a lot of these resources that are there that we fight continually with the federal government on how to unlock those. And so, yes, and the same with the road issues. It's a battle every day.
And you see that as an economic issue, development issue?
It truly is, yeah. Again, with especially now we see the mining start to ramp up here, a lot of that is on federal lands. In fact, the majority of the mining that we're seeing is on federal lands. So we need a lot of cooperation with the federal government so that we can unlock those resources.
If you just joined us, we are talking with Beaver County Commissioner Mark Whitney, and you're listening to Access Utah. We're coming to you from the Milford Renewable Energy Fair. It's the fourth annual, so you've got something going here. And we're in the coach's office, by the way, of Milford High School in Milford. Happy to be in Milford today in Beaver County. Just a few minutes left with Commissioner Whitney. More on the roads issue. I know this has been an ongoing simmering issue. Seems to have flared back up. I saw a news conference from Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. They were saying, their viewpoint is that many of these roads, they call them so-called roads, are not roads at all. This should not even be an issue. I'm guessing you have a different viewpoint.
We do. You know, again, we are a multi-land use county. That means that everyone has their own version and opinion on how public lands are to be shared. And even though a road may not seem like a road to me, to someone else it could be, because it could either lead to one of their windmills, to a point to where their family camped and hunted on federal lands forever. Those roads just didn't magically appear. They are a road, whether the two-track or graded or paved, it's a road for someone. And again, public lands are just that. It's everybody's lands. Should not be restricted by any one entity.
Now, again, from the point of view of environmentalists, take the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance and other groups, they are skeptical that if some of these lands are opened up to a greater degree, that state and county governments will not be good stewards of the land. What's your response to that?
I take that very defensively, because there's probably no one that is more stewards of the land and more environmentally friendly to our public lands than commissioners, city leaders, and state leaders. These are our lands, and we are all environmentalists of this land. And I think that the lands could be much better managed locally than nationally.
Let's go back to, in just a couple minutes left here, go back to the energy. Are there any fights at all between extractive industry and renewable energy people here in Beaver County, or are we all holding hands and singing off the same hymn book?
You know, it's been quite enlightening, but we have not seen them paths cross, and I don't foresee them paths crossing, because I think that again, with the diversity in our lands here, they can live both in harmony, because neither one negatively impacts the other at this point. So.
And in terms of the renewable energy, what do you think the upside is here in Beaver County in terms of percentage of the economy or numbers of industry? Sky's the limit. What are your plans?
You know, it truly is. And again, we're just gonna turn that out to the private sector and let them build on what we think we have here. And we do. We feel like between the all the different resources that we have for renewable energy, that the sky is truly the limit here.
Do you have any dissenters with this plan for growth? Do you have any people in Beaver County that want to go a different way in terms of economic development?
You know, I don't think so. I think the number one common theme and goal that we all have is we want to keep our children here. And whatever that takes, once we educate and our children grow, we want to keep them home and let them raise their families here locally.
We've been talking with Mark Whitney, Beaver County Commissioner. Anything you'd like to, parting shot, anything you'd like to say about Beaver County, people out there?
You know, on behalf of Beaver County, we would just like to welcome everyone who's participating in this fourth annual Renewable Energy Fair, and we hope that everyone enjoys herself. We're hoping the weather cooperates with us. It's one of those double-edged swords that we depend on wind for renewable energy, but we hope it doesn't blow too hard today.
That's right. Keep it down to a dull roar.
Absolutely.
Today during the fair. We've been talking with Beaver County Commissioner Mark Whitney. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And as I said, we're at the Milford Renewable Energy Fair at Milford High School. This broadcast made possible by Southwest Applied Technology College and by Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. We bring in now the principal of Milford High School, Greg Denninger. You were telling me before we went on the air, you originally from California?
Yes, I grew up in Southern California.
And we're in law enforcement.
In my early years, I served a little bit in law enforcement in the United States Air Force up at Beale in Northern California, and then joined the California Highway Patrol, where I worked for another 9 years down in the Southern California region.
Does that transfer at all to being a principal of a high school?
It has, actually, a great deal.
Yeah.
You know, how to deal with troubled situations, tragedy, situations that need immediate response. I specialized my last 3 or 4 years in gangs and at-risk students. Those are mostly who I dealt with on the streets of East L.A. That was my last area. And that has helped me. That's what led me into education. I was told one day that I couldn't do my job anymore because of physical injuries I'd received in the line of duty. And so I thought, if I can't take the gangbangers to jail, maybe I can teach kids and help them to not move in that direction. Mm. So that's how I've been in education now for the last 19 years.
Yeah. Then to Manti, I believe, and now to
That's
Melbourne.
Correct. Somebody in Southern Cal knew that I kind of had a passion to move to Utah and said, hey, some podunk school in Utah is looking for a teacher and a coach. And I called up, and, you know, the rest is history.
So we're talking about renewable energy, obviously, and one of your teachers was instrumental in starting this Fair Andy Swap. We talked with him earlier in the broadcast. Talk to me a little bit about what this means for the students, I guess, specifically jobs. You want jobs for your students.
Yes. You know, I don't know the last numbers or total, but I know that it's been, you know, it's somewhere in the mid to high 20s to 30 students that have graduated from here and gone into the renewable energy industry, many of them into the wind industry through his inspiration. And that's had a huge impact not only on our local students, but on the economy, because many of these students now live here as working adults and pay taxes and, you know, purchase in the stores and things. So had a huge impact on the lives of individuals.
That's great for you, I'm sure, as a principal, to see these students stay in the community.
Exactly.
Let's turn to some representatives from the Department of Workforce Services. You, when I saw your booth, I was a little puzzled. Why is Workforce Services involved in a renewable energy fair? Lori, tell me your last name.
My last name is Economy.
Really?
It really is.
Well, you were destined to go into something with the economy. Lori, Economy, so I'm sure... green jobs are what you're driving at, and you're trying to make people aware that there are green jobs available in Utah.
It's true. The Department of Workforce Services, of course, is interested in workforce development, and one of the areas of development that's necessary is training for those green jobs that are coming. Utah as a whole wasn't really on top of the training needs, and so we jumped in with some grant money and different things to help kind of spur that on and have some training opportunities available for customers across the state with our Green Energy Sector Partnership Grant through Salt Lake Community College, and it also goes down into Southwest ATC here in Cedar City area. So that is one of the main reasons we're here. We're on the steering committee for this fair, and we just wanted to be a part of the green energy growth that's going on right now.
Very good. Tell me your name.
I'm Kelly Thornton, also with the Department of Workforce Services.
Okay. And is this growing as a percentage of jobs? You have more and more people looking for green jobs?
It is, and we're actually kind of on the cutting edge. So the grant that Lori talked about is what I work with. It's the State Energy Sector Partnership. And the idea was to create the infrastructure for training for current jobs, but also for jobs that are right there on the horizon. So we're really right on the cutting edge of that. We have seen some growth, and we expect more in the future.
Mm-hmm. I do have the growth numbers for 2010 as about 1.5% in the green job area. Mm-hmm. It's grown from 2003 to 2010 about 3.5% in those green jobs. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, if we look at those numbers, we're looking at about, we've done some surveys trying to find that information. It's one of the hard things for DWS. We gather a lot of data to be able to track that information, but it's so new, it's hard to make sure that we're gathering that information. And we have definitely started that. And one of the statistics that we have is that there are about 6,000 businesses within the state of Utah that are considered quote-unquote green and are looking to, you know, in some aspect of that. The main thing that we're seeing is, it's like with the wind farm, you know, during the construction phase, they were hiring 200 people. As they go on going, it'll be 10 to 15 permanent employees there at First Wind. So we see the large numbers come in for the construction phase, which is awesome. It brings in, you know, revenue into the area, as the principal already said here. And so those kinds of opportunities for growth in the rural areas are outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Do you, at the Department of Workforce Services, do you find that people, I don't know if you have stats on this, that people want to go into green jobs because they feel good about that, or they just want a job?
It is something that I believe if the jobs are there, people will want them, absolutely. And I think it's just a matter of making that commitment. You know, as been said, we're in the infant stages of this industry, especially the kids. they're pretty into it, and they want to see it grow. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for the next generation. Right now, the numbers, I think, for jobs are probably not as big as we had hoped they would be at this point. But as we move forward, I think it will continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. We just have about 3 seconds left. Principal, this is something, I guess, that can help the kids stay home. A rural county like this, you can have jobs like this.
Yes, it's been incredible for our students. You know, we're going to graduate 14 students this year, and two of them are going into this industry and making careers out of it. And we have about 2 to 4 every year that are doing that. But one of the things that it does, and it's done for our community and our county, it isn't just those that get the jobs. It's all of the money that the Absolutely. Businesses or those entities and partnerships form. I mean, our school district alone is receiving $1.2 million in tax base this year from First Wind. And RMT spent over $200,000 at our local hardware store last year. You can't replace that with anything
else. Example of how that has a ripple effect. Well, we've reached the end of our time, and appreciate our guests throughout the hour joining us. Thank you so much. This broadcast made possible by Southwest Applied Technology College and by the Southwest Utah Renewable Energy Center. Tom Williams saying goodbye now from Milford High School at the Milford Renewable Energy Fair. Thanks for listening.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1, 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1, 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1, 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1, 88.7 Moab, and KUSU FM HD1, 91.5 Logan.
Support for Access Utah comes from Crumb Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now open Monday through Saturday until 2, offering a changing menu of a specialty salad, French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits, and lunch sandwiches.